This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep the sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Is it working, Chandler St. Pierre?
Yes, I can feel it. I can feel the power of the fiends.
Excellent. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So, how's it going?
It's going good. How's it going with you?
Pretty great.
I'm sipping some organic green dragon tea and having a fresh, locally baked cranberry muffin. It's delicious.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yep.
Oh, I love local stuff. So
I went to one of the local cafes that I go to every week, and they have their, all their day-old goodies that they sell for a dollar. And they're actually better, I think, the second day than the first day. They had cookies and muffins and this other, pastry thing. I can't remember what it was called, but it was great. So I stocked up.
Oh, cool. So is it kind of like a little locally owned place or something? Kind of?
Yep. Yep. Small, it's just a very small cafe. I take one of my clients that I work with. He volunteers there, cleaning the coolers and stuff, washing all the windows. So we go there once a week, and he does his job, and then we hang out, and he has hot cocoa and I have coffee or tea. And yeah, it's a nice little quiet place.
Oh, nice. I love places like that. I feel like there should be more cafes and just kind of chill places, nice good food, locally made. So
yeah, they have great food, but they're expensive.
But, I guess you pay for quality, though, Is it mostly organic stuff?
Well, I think a lot of it is, but, it's a lot of it's just good food. You know, the sandwiches they make are really hearty. So, yeah, you get what you pay for. And it's really cool. There's a guy, he's an older gentleman. He's in his late 70s, Vernon, and they have a little table that's just reserved for him. They have a little sign, this table is reserved for Vern, and he spends a good part of the day there. He's wicked friendly. Every time you come in, he'll say hello and ask how you're doing, and sit and chat with him for a few. And so, yeah, it's a great little place. I like going there.
That's awesome. Nice to have your own spot, so... So, what do you think about some of these announcements this week?
What announcements are those? I don't pay attention.
These political announcements. Are you not excited? Are you not excited for Hillary or Marco Rubio or?
I don't know who that is. No, I know about Hillary. I mean, I've said for years that she was going to be the next president.
It's kind of her turn, right?
Yeah. Yeah, in the royal family, in the line of succession, it's her turn. She's earned it, all that Yahoo stuff. But who's Rubio? Is that you guys' governor down there?
Yeah, so Florida man announced his run for president, and Florida man is Marco Rubio. What I thought was interesting about... I saw his announcement. I thought his little campaign slogan was really interesting. I don't know if you got to see that, but it's great. So it's like all lowercase. It's kind of like supposed to be like kind of cool and hip looking. Over his eye, over the Rubio and eye, there's a little picture of the continental United States, but it doesn't have Alaska and Hawaii on it. So he's catching crap already. It's so quick. It's so great to see how quickly these people are criticized when they do kind of step anything out. They're like, oh, look at me. Like, I want to be president. I want to rule over you.
Did he make sure to wear his little American flag pin on his lapel?
Oh, I didn't see that. But that's something you can also complain about.
Yeah, a couple of times Obama didn't wear one. you know, back in the day. I think it was when he first got elected, and all the pundits and the media got all over him for that, so.
Well, pretty socialist thing to do, I guess, so.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Well, I mean, I just try to, I used to pay attention to that back in my minarchist days. I used to get really pumped and be like, oh yeah, the election season's starting, and this is where we get to, you know, pick the right man for the, or woman for the job. And now it's just, it seems like nonsense. And it seems to me like the election cycles are getting earlier and earlier every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like they start speculating so early now, and then they're making the announcements even earlier. And I mean, I think it's so weird because they still count it as, you know, it's breaking news that Hillary is running, but I kind of think it would be breaking news if she wasn't.
Yeah, that would make more sense.
So what did you kind of lean towards when in your minarchist days? Were you more of like a lefty or right wing, or did you kind of follow more independent?
When I started out, I started listening when I was a teenager. Of course, I had no knowledge or opinion on everything. And then, you know, got into a relationship, got serious, had a kid, and I started listening to conservative talk radio, local stuff at first, and then I started listening to, you know, Rush and Michael Savage and stuff like that. So I was really right-wing, and I was right-wing for a while. You know, I'm ashamed to admit that I actually voted in the 2000 election, and I voted for Bush. And then kind of got on the libertarian streak, and that, you know, listening to Ron Paul and Michael Badnarik, and then I just kind of got where I am today, you know?
Nice. Have you heard of something called the horseshoe theory? Where you have like two opposite ends of an extreme spectrum and they end up being very similar to each other?
I haven't I haven't heard of that theory in particular. I've heard of it kind of like that, but with the pendulum swinging back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of same concept. That's what Hillary kind of reminds me of, because she seems so right-wing and so, I mean, even more so than some of the Republican candidates who've announced their, you know, that they're going to run. So, I don't know. It just strikes me as odd that she's still trying to run with the kind of lefty credentials, but I don't know. I mean, she's not even coming around on basic lefty issues, so.
Well,
this will be really interesting.
It will be, because, like, I mean, here's the lady who complained about the vast right-wing conspiracy controlling the media, right? And, yeah, like you said, she's really, really kind of right-wing. And, but I think a lot of that is just because she has to pander to, you know, the neocon military-industrial complex status quo in D.C. I mean, they all do to a certain extent. So, mm-hmm. I guess it really doesn't surprise me that she's really far out there, you know?
Yeah. Did you get a chance to see her website?
I did. I guess I'm kind of sad I missed it yesterday. You said it was really creepy yesterday before they changed it. When I looked at it today, yeah. I was just like, typical politician website.
Right. Now it looks a little more normal, I guess. But yesterday, they replaced the banner at the top because yesterday it was kind of just her head. It was like this kind of floating, ew, disembodied head. And she wasn't even looking at the camera. She was like looking away from you. And now it's like a picture of her talking to this elderly person. But I thought her bio was strange. Just some of the language it uses. Like, it was just kind of strangely worded. Like, there's this one paragraph. After serving as a lawyer for the Congressional Committee investigating President Nixon, she moved to Arkansas, where she taught law and ran legal clinics representing poor people.
Like, well, that goes with that whole liberal credential thing, you know?
But, like, isn't the PC term, like, disadvantaged people? Like, poor people? Like, I've never seen, like, I don't know, usually, like, the PR language is a little more, I don't know, that she's just flat out saying, yeah, I care about the poor people.
Well, it is. You're right. But I think that
it's kind of blunt, I guess, more blunt than usual.
They're so these politicians now are starting to get clued in that most people really don't dig that whole political correctness thing. It actually kind of annoys them. So they're trying to sound more like us, more down to earth. You know what I mean?
Like the people.
Yeah.
Aww.
And it's so ridiculous to even think that. Like,
they're really bad cats, at it.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a meme on Twitter, I think, or Facebook or something. And, you know, it was that we need to limit congressional terms or whatever, you know, because they're in there too long. Okay, whatever. I mean, I think we should just get rid of the whole thing. But, I mean, it did make a point. You know, some of these guys have been in there half their lives. They're like 75 and they've been in there 35, 40 years. And it's like, how could they even have even the most remote comprehension of what it's like to live paycheck to paycheck, to have to worry about putting snow tires on your car, to have to worry about, you know, your taxes going up and your escrow account being short, you know, for your mortgage. I mean, these guys don't have a clue about stuff like that.
Right. And I mean, yeah, even basic stuff, the restrictions you have when you're too poor to have a bank account. For example, I found out recently that you can have a bank account that isn't a full bank account. And if you're too poor, you can't receive wire transfers to that account. Like, so you're too poor to receive money from other people that might want to send it to you. Like, it's
how
a restriction
that
they put out. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, I just crazy, weird bank rules. I mean, it's not at every bank. I think this was at, I want to say it was one of the larger ones. Because of course, it's one of the, like, Bank of America or something like that. But yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. They have no concept of that. And I mean, it's I don't know. I hate the pandering. It just really bothers me.
Well, you know, until people stop buying into that, they're going to keep it up. You know, there's always a few suckers out there who say, oh, if we can just get the right person in there, it'll fix everything. They care about it. That's the thing that drives me nuts.
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
For some reason in this country, and in a bunch of Western world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's FiendPhone.com, FiendPhone.com, Foxtrot, Echo, November, phone.com.
FiendPhone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Ow. I have a kitty armrest. My cat's mad because I won't let him sit in my lap right now.
Aww.
He's just like balanced on my armrest.
That's funny. They can balance in the smallest spots. These cats. They're crafty.
So we were talking about bank accounts and how if you're too poor, you can't get wire transfers and everything. We thought that'd be a good segue into an article on, I think it's from Mises.com originally. Mm-hmm. And it's entitled, Louisiana Makes It Illegal to Use Cash to Buy Used Goods. Now, this article is dated April 3rd, 2015, but I guess after reading the comments, this bill passed in 2011. So I'm not sure. You know, whatever. But it's a typical trend. I'll just read a little bit of the article because it's really short. says, with the passage of House Bill 195 into law, state of Louisiana has banned the use of cash in all transactions involving secondhand goods. Gee, I wonder how that works at a lawn sale.
Right.
State Representative Ricky Hardy, a co-author of the bill, claims that the bill targets criminals who traffic in stolen goods. Of course, it's always to protect the children.
Right.
According to Hardy, it's a mechanism to be used so the police department has something to go on and have a lead. The bill prohibits cash transactions by secondhand dealers, defined to include garage sales, flea markets, resellers of specialty items, and even nonprofit resellers like Goodwill. Curiously, it specifically exempts pawnbrokers from the ban. But of course, pawn shops have not rented stalls at local church flea markets, are notorious as places that criminals frequent to convert stolen goods into quick cash, right? What gives? Are the authors of the bill and those who voted for it ignoramuses? Yes. Or are they deliberately obscuring the real purpose of the bill? The answer is clear once we examine the other provisions of the bill. In fact, the bill goes far beyond banning cash transactions. As lawyer Thad Ackle notes, the bill requires secondhand dealers to turn over valuable assets, namely their business's proprietary client information. For every transaction, a secondhand dealer must obtain the seller's personal information, such as their name, address, driver's license number, and the license plate number of the vehicle in which the goods were delivered. They must also make a detailed description of the items purchased and submit this with the personal identification information of every transaction to the local policing authorities through electronic daily reports. If a seller cannot or refuses to produce to the secondhand dealer any of the required forms of identification, the secondhand dealer is prohibited from completing the transaction.
That's ridiculous.
Of course, The aim of the bill is not to aid law enforcement in apprehending criminals, none of whom would ever be stupid enough to turn over such information. It's kind of like the gun debate, right?
Oh, yeah.
The real intent is to feed government's insatiable hunger for tax revenues by completely stripping law-abiding citizens of financial privacy and secondhand transactions, every detail of which is fed directly into police files. This troubling development in Louisiana parallels the intensification of the war on cash by the federal government. Last month, it was reported that the U.S. Justice Department ordered bank employees to snitch to the cops on customers who withdrew $5,000 or more, down from $10,000. In a speech, the Assistant Attorney General Leslie Caldwell exhorts banks to alert law enforcement authorities about the problem so that police can seize the funds or at least initiate an investigation.
Yeah, so this is such a bizarre regulation to have because there's already a lot of restrictions on these types of businesses on a federal level. So this is really, this is about data collection. This is about getting information from people to put in databases. And it's a really unnecessary thing. It doesn't stop criminals. And what it does is it leaves a lot of people vulnerable because a lot of these databases are very insecure. I mean, yeah. We hear all the time about, you know, Apple getting hacked even. Mm-hmm. So I'm very skeptical that this is, you know, preventing any crimes and, you know, even more so, you know, what's happening with these people's personal information? You know, what if there's a breach in the system or something?
Well, yeah, I can tell a story about government websites and personal information when we come back from the market. It's quite aggravating.
Mm.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
All right, we got 5 minutes of ads. I'm going to go grab another cup of tea. I'll be right back.
LRN.FM needs your help getting our satellite signal back on in Africa. Our satellite provider had us on at no charge from 2012 through February of this year when they pulled the channel off the air. Now we're trying to raise $22,000 to continue reaching people with the message of liberty in places where it's needed most. Please visit our Indiegogo fundraiser at africa.lrn.fm. Give what you can and share the link with your friends. africa.lrn.fm.
Meow. Meow. So, before we left for the market, I was talking about government websites and lack of privacy, and I gotta say, I bit the bullet and gone on the healthcare.gov website to check out my insurance options and all that stuff, and I signed up for some horrible plan, which... It's cheap, but boy, is it cheap for a reason. And so a couple of weeks after, you know, I got all signed up and everything, I have several email addresses. And one I use, you know, specifically for like emailing to co-hosts and family. I don't give it out. You know, when I go to a website that says, you know, please create a user account to, you know, view our material. I don't usually use that one. I did for the healthcare thing because I figured, you know, it's bills and everything. And I need to make, because I check that one most often. The other one's like my Yahoo account. I rarely ever check that thing. So I started noticing a couple of weeks after, I was getting all these weird emails, just, the spam stuff, you know, fund, you know, there's a loan for you, or check out, I can't even remember, there's so many, they were just flooding my email box. At first I thought I was just popular, because I'd check my, you know, I'd look at my email, and I'd have like 20 new emails. So I started and I was like, oh man, I finally got this account spammed. So I click on the unsubscribe link, and most of them are from like the same few, you know, companies that say, oh, we're sorry, we will unsubscribe you at once. And a couple of them say, you know, how did I get here? And I clicked on the link, and sure enough, you know, it was from the healthcare sites. So I don't know if they sold my information or if their databases just weren't secure.
Either way, that's really disturbing, though.
Yeah, it's very disturbing. So, I mean,
is there any kind of checkbox to consent, like that, hey, yeah, you can just sell my information to people, or
no? And I actually read through, and I didn't see... Sometimes there's no checkbox to say it's okay. They just do it. It's implied. Mm-hmm. I didn't even see that on the website. So I'm a little put off by that.
That's so shady. That's just so shady. I mean, I don't even give people's emails or phone numbers out if, people ask me, you know. It's like, just, you know, take that up with that person or whatever. I mean, to have all of that information, you know... As a government agency, I mean, that's disturbing and real freaky.
Well, it kind of... I'll lead into this. I think you were right, though, right on the money when you said that this is just another way to track and trace. I remember when I started really getting involved in the Liberty Mission, and I was still kind of libertarian, right-wing, so I associated with a lot of the patriot types out there. Mm-hmm. And I remember one of the big fears of a lot of these cats was lack of privacy and going into a cashless society and how it's a total control mechanism. And those fears are justified totally. I'm not making light of it. I remember reading a book and talking to people on a forum where I think they were a little more on the religious side, which is fine. And they said, you know, the whole mark of the beast thing, it's already here, and it's in the money, and it's in the digital, you know, debit cards and credit cards and do everything online. Quick and easy, you know? And right. I think there was a lot of merit to that because let's just say, you know, you don't carry, and so how many of us don't carry cash anymore? I mean, I have some change. Yeah. I mean, it's just a common thing now. So what happens if the ATMs are shut off or the bank accounts are frozen digitally or everything goes offline, whether intentionally or through, you know, some sort of weird national emergency? I mean, your access to currencies and all that's just gone. So, you know, then you have to start bartering or trading. And laws like this serve not only to increase the control mechanism, but they serve to intimidate people into not doing that.
Right. And, you know, this is often a critique you hear about Bitcoin, too. Like, one of the things that people who don't like Bitcoin say is like, well, what if the internet goes down? They can just shut everything off and then you wouldn't be able to use Bitcoin. It's like that would also happen with credit cards. Like, in, you know, in the scenario that they try to say is like, oh, the grid goes down or the internet goes down, it's like, I mean, it's going to be hard to do all of the other stuff here, electronic banking, and you know, all of the credit card companies would be shut down too. So it's really, and it's not a good thing that these things are centralized in the first place and so easily shut down. That's, I was reading this article about it today called Bitcoin is not a good consumer product. It's an anti-Bitcoin thing. And the author straight up says, you know, it's a good thing that these things are centralized because the government can shut them down if they're being used by bad people. And this is, you know, this is one reason people use cash too, is they have more freedom in their transactions. It's more anonymous and private to use. You know, someone can steal your wallet, but your credit card can also get hacked or something. This has happened several times with, you know, some of my cards. Like, there's a breach in the system and they're like, oh yeah, your card's not going to work, and then you have to wait a few days for a new one, and it's yep. harder to access your bank account. Whereas cash is, you know, a lot easier. I don't carry it as much anymore. So I used to serve tables and I'd always have a ton of cash on me, and I did kind of like that. Because, yeah, I mean, who knows? Like, if you don't have any cash and you just have that card and something's happened with it and they haven't alerted you yet, I mean, you may not be able to buy anything you need. So, so yeah, it's kind of it's kind of an interesting thing.
So how do you think that the adoption and use of Bitcoin could get around ridiculous laws like this?
Well, so it is similar. It's very easy to use, and I think it's something that, I mean, anyone with an internet connection can use it, so you're not depending on some central party that can shut it down. You can lose your Bitcoin if you're not, you know, if you don't have them secured, but it's kind of similar to cash in some ways. It can be as anonymous as you want to make it. It's not anonymous, you know, if you're just kind of using it for simple transactions. You have to add more layers to it, but it can be made more anonymous depending on what you're using it for, and it can't be stopped. So, you know, and it doesn't require any personal information. So we were talking about the regulation in Louisiana earlier, and you have to submit all of this personal information if you're going to sell something. Well, that's not even necessary to do with Bitcoin. I mean, it's instant. Like, it's just like cash in that when you send that Bitcoin to someone, they have it, you know, in their wallet and can spend it almost immediately. You know, there would be no need for the information gathering, but it depends on how they regulate it. It's still such a new thing that I don't know that it's reached that kind of critical point where you know, they would be requiring information for Bitcoin transactions. Like, if you're using an exchange, they require some personal information because those are going to fall under kind of some of the upcoming regulations. But I mean, if you're just doing it peer-to-peer, just person-to-person, then there's really no need for that. And it would be much harder to regulate that. I think and I wonder how much resistance there is to this law, like how many loopholes are in it, because it said in that article that pawn shops are exempt from it, or pawn brokers are exempt from it. Which is I found that kind of interesting. That kind of stuck out at me.
You know why I think that is, though? Because pawn brokers, and not all, I'm not collectivizing here, but it's been my experience locally that pawn brokers have a very comfortable relationship with local police departments, to the point where there's one pawn shop in my area where the police are in there every week, and they chat for a while, which in of itself can be a good thing. And I'll give you an example. I had my weed whacker stolen right out of my yard a couple of years ago. And, you know, when I called the police, who did nothing and told me I was out of luck. But if somebody went down to the local pawn shop and pawned that model weed whacker, you know, the police would at least have a lead to go on. So I can understand that. But I think their comfortable relationship goes very much farther than that. I think that in some instances, not all, pawn brokers are the eyes and ears for police, far beyond investigating criminal activity.
Yeah, I could see that too. Yeah, that definitely makes sense. So it's weird that this law wouldn't apply to them, but it applies to something like, you know, a yard sale or a flea market. And even nonprofit sellers like Goodwill.
That's crazy. Like, I can't imagine.
Which is so crazy because as you just said, you know, like there are a lot of criminals who are going to be going to pawn shops and exchanging things for cash. Is, you know, a quick way to kind of do that. So if you were worried about the more criminal element, you'd think you would more highly regulate that part of things and not, you know, grandma's garage sale.
Well, I'm kind of curious why they would go after Goodwill, because Goodwill is all donation based. You can take stuff there, but they're not going to buy it from you. If you want to give it to them, that's cool. They'll take it, you know, because it goes to fund their programs. But there's no two-way transaction until you're on the consumer end.
Right. I'm not sure why Goodwill would even fall under this, because you're not selling things. Well, you could get a tax write-off, so I wonder if that's part of it. Like, sometimes you can get a tax write-off.
That could be it,
yeah. They want the information for what you're donating.
Yeah.
But that's still, come on.
Invasion of privacy. You have no reasonable expectation of privacy in modern-day America, or modern-day Earth, I think.
That's right.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
Meow, 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 meow.
Freedom Fiends.
Injecting your brain with worms.
Worms.
Brain worms.
Worms.
Yep. So, I don't know. We were talking about this ridiculous law banning the use of cash in secondhand transactions. And, you know, I think Bitcoin is a solution in a lot of ways. Just from seeing, and I felt so left behind, so like 19th century when I went to Porkfest. I had my little silver and I actually had cash on me for once and everything. And I thought I was all hip and cool because I had my silver pieces and everyone was using Bitcoin. And it was like you said, it's so instantaneous, you know?
It's just so easy to use. Like I try not to use my credit card and stuff anymore because just entering that in, I mean, it's not much effort, right? But it's even less effort to just scan a QR code and send Bitcoin to anyone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing. It's like digital magic.
And I've noticed that people give discounts too, because a few of the vendors were like, well, hey, you know, I'll give you $3 off your purchase if you use Bitcoin. And I'm just like, didn't want to admit I was one of those people that didn't get on the Bitcoin bandwagon, but
I got kind of late.
Yeah. Well, at least you're still there. I'm still just pining about it. Which is so weird, too, because, like, I'm such a tech guy. I'm in a house with tons of computers, and when I tell people that I'm not really down with the whole Bitcoin scene, they're just like, why? You have all these computers sitting around, you know? And I've always been like that. I've had computers since, I don't know, 99 or whatever, you know? So, oh, well. I'll get on board someday.
Yeah, well, it's good to, you know, take your time and, you know, really, especially if you have concerns with it, which there are some issues with it, you know. I think it's good to be skeptical as you can be. So, I mean, like I said, I'm on board with Bitcoin, but I always encourage people to, you know, do their own research and, you know, make sure that it's for you. So, which, yep. I think it is. It's really fun to use and really easy to use. And, I think it's going to be used a lot in the future, and there's already so many other merchants doing digital payment systems that are very similar too. So, the technology is not going away.
Well, it's definitely one of the solutions to counteract these ridiculous laws, and I think another one, honestly, is just for people to say no. I mean, think about it. You're running a flea market or a lawn sale. Do you really want to comply with all this nonsense and paperwork? And if you do, say you are a good tax-paying American and you want to follow these unjust laws, how many people that are looking at your, you know, set of dishes that you have out on your lawn sale are going to want to supply you with all that information to buy that set of dishes when they can just go down someplace else that, you know, won't bother them with that. You know, you're going to lose business. So is it even worth it? And how are they going to know? I mean, a lot of that stuff, and I'm not advocating illegal activity, but sometimes I think it's best to just say no.
Yeah, and I think there is probably a lot of resistance to this law because it's so ridiculous and requires so much paperwork. And, you know, it's just so silly on its face. You know, the people who are having yard sales, I highly doubt that they're making people fill out paperwork. They're probably just doing the cash transactions anyway, because I don't know how much they enforce it. And you know, whenever you have something like this, you're going to have a degree of resistance, and it's going to come from the smaller merchants. Now, Goodwill, they might be enforcing it, but your average person, I don't think they're filling out the paperwork.
Nor should they.
Nor should they.
Sometimes you just got to say no. I'm telling you.
Just say no to government paperwork.
Yep. We need a shirt that says that. Dare to say no to government.
Worms.
We'll be back in hour two discussing liberals with guns.
Woo!
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Meow, 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 meow. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reindoctrination Center's low-orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. And this is a reminder that the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah.
So, we were going to talk about liberals shooting guns for the first time. You showed me a funny video.
Yeah, so there's this video, I think it was a BuzzFeed video? I think it might actually be a BuzzFeed video. Yeah, liberals shooting guns for the first time. And it's a really cute video. It starts off with four, left-wing folks, and they're saying how much they don't like guns.
Yeah, you got to skip the first 30 seconds.
Yeah, they're like adamantly against guns, and then they show them at a shooting range and they're learning how to shoot guns, and like over the course, it's only a like 3 minute long video, 3 minutes 30 seconds, and over the course of the video, like some of them, like you can tell they're having a good time, but they're trying to resist that good feeling, like they still need to feel guilty about having a good time shooting guns. It's kind of bizarre. It's really funny, though. It's really funny because there's one girl who I think she's probably going to be shooting guns. They all pretty much stayed, same opinion. Like, they all said, oh, we had fun. Shooting guns is fun. But, yeah, they're still kind of scary and dangerous. But I know I was a former liberal who didn't like guns. And, I finally came around on that issue, and shooting them definitely helped, because it's just a good time, and you want to be safe, and once you learn what you're doing, and there's a lot of skill involved, and it can be a pretty rewarding experience, and I never want to have to use a gun. I sympathize with the leftist kind of idea, like, oh, well, we should live in a world safe enough to where we don't need guns. Like, that would be really nice, don't get me wrong, but we don't live in that world yet. We're not in utopia, so I feel a lot safer, with my firearm. So what did you think of the video?
All right. Hey, we're...
Hey.
Okay, you dropped out there for a few. I couldn't hear you.
Oh, whoops.
Nature of the beast, technology.
Yeah. So what did you think of the video?
Once I repressed my urge to vomit for the first 30 seconds, I thought it was hilarious. The chick with the long black hair and the white shirt, I swear to God, it was almost like, having sex for the first time. She was very, excited about shooting guns. And I watched that video and I said, that one's going to go out and buy a gun. She's going to have a gun and she's going to shoot more. She was like, well, yeah, I'll probably come back and shoot in this gallery again, And, I couldn't help but laugh. One of the only guy, that kind of hipster guy in the video, he was like, well, coming to a range in a well-regulated environment, that's one thing, and that's fine. But other than that, I still don't think people should have guns. And I'm like, oh, that kind of like counteracts the purpose of having guns, whether you're a hunter or whether you just believe in defending yourself, ask the folks over in England how well regulating guns are and only being able to use them at the gun club. Ask them how well that's working out for them. You know, check their crime statistics.
And aren't there a lot of stabbings and stuff over there, too? I mean, that's pretty freaky sounding. So I kind of changed my mind on this issue after shooting guns. And also, it's kind of strange that more leftists, more modern day, I guess you could say, leftists don't embrace this, because the old left definitely did. If you go back to like the civil rights era and stuff, they were very pro-gun because they used guns to protect themselves, because the cops and, I mean, just all, I mean, just average people, you know, they were under so much, you know, so much scrutiny and so much just attacks. I mean, you had groups like the KKK running around lynching people, and you wanted to be armed so they didn't kill you. And I kind of view it the same way when it comes to protecting yourself as a woman. So you're at a physical disadvantage just about anywhere you go, and sometimes you might find yourself in kind of a scary area, and it makes me feel safer knowing that I can protect myself with a firearm if I need to. Again, like, I don't ever want to have to be in that situation, but I think it's almost, I mean, I don't want to say it's like a woman's rights issue, but it is a matter of self-protection. And I think the left, this is something that it came natural to me, like, you know, trying, you know, understanding power dynamics and stuff like that. And I just wonder why it doesn't quite sink in for a lot of them, just from that perspective of, you know, I have to protect myself. You know, it's like a self-preservation kind of thing.
Well, I find it interesting, you know, many anti-gun people will make the argument that we don't need guns, you know, but they'll carry around a knife or pepper spray or whatever to defend themselves, because they live in a bad area and they realize that, you know, they could get mugged. I don't see what the distinction is, right? If you have the right, if you own yourself and you have the right to protect yourself, what does it matter what choice of protection you use? And I think that it's the slow indoctrination over the last, you know, 50 years or whatever. Guns are bad, and only the heroes should carry guns, and only, you know, the heroes are usually like the
worst
cops.
People ever.
Yeah. Well, and if you look at, if you want to make that argument, right, that only police should carry firearms, look about how much abuse is going on by police departments, you know, shooting unarmed people, beating them down. Yeah, it's ridiculous. And I'm not saying you need a gun and you should go out and shoot a cop or anything, but you're saying that these are the only type of people that should have guns, and look at the abuses. Forget the criminal aspect for a minute. And that's the other thing. All these people that are anti-gun, and they push for more gun laws. To me, it's a very simple proposition. You can pass all the laws you want, but if you're a criminal, you're not going to obey those laws. So the only people you're hurting are the law-abiding people, yourself. So why do you keep pushing this agenda? Like, I get the politicians that do it, right? I understand that. It's a political thing. They like to have the sheeps disarmed and docile. But the average person who is a good person, they just don't like guns, but they believe in protecting themselves. Why would they push this agenda so much? I really think it's just, not to sound holier than thou, but it's kind of ignorance to me.
Well, I think they a lot of people really are misinformed about guns and using them to protect yourself. There's so much bad information. A lot of times they'll just listen to talking points of their favorite, you know, news program or their favorite politician. And the politicians are some of the most uninformed people about guns in the first place. So they probably just listen to it and don't really think much of it. It is interesting that there's that kind of resistance. And I can understand a principled pacifist position, right? Like someone saying that I don't carry a gun because I would never want to take a life. You know, I definitely understand that, you know, maybe someone takes martial arts or something to defend themselves, but they don't ever want to have to take a human life. I think that's a principled position, and I can understand it. But the problem comes when you try to take that principled position and inflict it on other people and say, well, it's not enough that I'm a pacifist. Everyone else has to believe in that, too.
Exactly.
It's a control thing.
And where does it end, right? You brought up martial arts. I know people who are very skilled in martial arts, and they are just as deadly as a person with a gun, if they mm-hmm. want to be. So are you going to start having people register their fists and stop martial arts lessons? I mean, where does it end? You know, like you said, in the UK, there's been a rash of stabbing cases because guns are outlawed. You know, criminals will find a way. You take away the knives, they're going to start picking up rocks and bludgeoning people. It's just, there are bad people in the world, and they are going to hurt you if given the chance. It doesn't matter if you can make all the laws you want. So, and I'm with you, you know, I carry a gun with me almost everywhere I go. I don't ever want to have to use that gun. I mean, if I do, I will. Make no mistake, I won't hesitate. But I don't want to be put in that situation. And that's part of the situational awareness thing. You know, mm-hmm. If you can avoid bad environments, bad situations, yes, you should. That way you're not put in a position where you'd have to defend yourself. But sometimes you can't avoid that. So wouldn't you rather be prepared?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you were mentioning people saying, oh, well, guns should only be in the hands of police and the military. Well, actually, there are statistics that show police are 2 to 4 times more likely to commit domestic abuse than the general population.
Mm-hmm.
So these are people who, statistically speaking, the population of police have higher violence rates towards their spouses. And I think it's fairly evident looking, you know, you type in police brutality on YouTube and you're going to get just a barrage of videos of really awful. And I'm sure people are now familiar with the man who was shot in South Carolina by the cop as he was running away from him. He was shot in the back. That happens every single day, multiple times a day. And these are people with poor impulse control. And they also, and this is true too, they don't hire for intelligence. They're trying to aim for a kind of average or below average intelligence because compliance. It's been shown that they take orders better.
Well, that's, you know, people will say, yeah, only cops should have guns because they're, you know, they're trained, they're better. They're really not. I'm sorry, but there was a time when we had peace officers and they were a very good sort of people. But that time is long past.
Yeah. I'm afraid of the police now. Straight up.
They worry me.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hey, this is Squizzcar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and 2 designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Oh.
Yep. Lion vegetarians.
Wow. That's not right.
No. So, I lost my place now. What were we talking about before lion vegetarians?
Lion vegetarians. Let's see. The last story we were talking about... Guns. And our experience. Well, let's talk about our experiences with guns.
All right. So,
growing up, right?
Yeah. Well, I had a Daisy BB gun. I loved it.
Nice.
And when I was a teenager, we all used to have BB gun fights. We'd we'd wear black trench coats and sunglasses and go out and have BB gun fights.
Oh,
and I was kind of at a disadvantage because all my friends had the nice pump. Brand new BB guns, and I had a really old Daisy that you could shoot yourself with it, and it didn't matter. but I wouldn't suggest that now. But, you know, kids do crazy things. So, with the exception of my dad, a great many people in my family hunted. So, you know, it was not uncommon to see a rifle in the house or a shotgun. It wasn't a big deal. And my dad's not anti-gun. He's never really, you know, been owned one. Or I think he's only shot a gun once or twice. Mm. So, you know, I saw that growing up, and I never really thought much of it. But it's interesting because I remember right after I bought my house, a couple of my cousins came over. And they're good redneck people, you know. And... Yeah. I had my 40 cal on, and I had bent over to get something on the back porch, and my shirt came up a little, and they saw it. And they were all, like, they weren't flipped out, but they were, like, really apprehensive, and they're like, what's that? And I'm like, a gun? And they're like, why do you have a handgun? And they couldn't comprehend it. And these are people that hunt every year. You know, they have high-powered rifles. But the fact that somebody would carry a handgun just kind of boggled their mind, you know?
Hmm.
And, I mean, I've told the story before, but I remember going to softball tryouts for my daughter. And this was back when I used to open carry. And this older gentleman came up to me and said, why you got that gun? I went into my usual libertarian spiel, which I'm sure went right over his head. And he looked at me and said, well, that ain't right. I think the only people that should be able to carry guns are cops. And that really, really threw me because, you know, I live in Maine. It's more of a rural state. And you'd think the older generation would be much more down with guns in general. And not so much. And Maine's a very liberal state, unfortunately. That mental illness has pervaded. I mean, I guess it's no different than the mental illness of conservatism. You know, statism in general. But it's very... pervasive up here, and just irks me.
Yeah, I could see that. See, I grew up in the panhandle of Florida, which is more similar to lower Alabama. We call it LA. So it's lower Alabama. It's less like other parts of Florida. So it's definitely more conservative. And one thing I haven't had a problem with is I can still carry, and I'm able to open carry in the office where I work. But sometimes I've printed pretty badly, you know, and I walk over, you know, we have a FedEx nearby that we use, so I'm over there pretty frequently. And I've definitely walked in there with, like, obviously wearing a gun, especially when I used to use a larger one. And I've never had any trouble. No one's ever stopped me. Maybe it's just my female privilege, you know? Maybe they see, like, a small girl with a gun, and they're like, oh, whatever. You know, she can have a gun, maybe, you know? Like, but I haven't caught anything, you know, negative, really. And even a lot of my kind of, because I kind of came from the left and kind of the hippie scene, and I still am friends with a lot of those people. And even they have pretty, you know, kind of centrist views on guns. I mean, we, you know, go to the range and stuff. It's not a super, there's not a lot of anti-gun sentiment here. It's actually pretty pro-gun in a lot of areas, which is good in some ways. I mean, there's a lot of the other conservative stuff going on. But, you know, the pro-gun thing is pretty interesting, and... you know, there's not that kind of stigma that you would have in, you know, up north and in other parts. So
it's kind of funny too, because all my hippie friends that I grew up with and, you know, did crazy hippie things when we were teenagers, the majority of them now all own guns. I mean, I think I was the first, but yeah, we're all gun nuts now, so whatever. Hippies with guns. We need to come up with a good anagram for that to put on a bumper sticker.
Oh, yeah. Hippies with guns. Be a good band name, too.
Yeah.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
What's band banning?
Band banning. Ban the banners. No. No rules. Okay, maybe not no rules.
No rulers.
No rulers.
Yeah, so I had a really good thought during the break when we were talking, and I've lost it. What were we talking about?
Oh, man. Let's see. I'm still talking about the guns. Still talking about maybe getting different friends to be less anti-gun. Kind of touched on that a little bit. I don't know.
It just left. That's what happens with age, I guess. Just whoop, goes. But yeah.
Carrying in places. We were talking about carrying in places that maybe you're not supposed to carry in, or states that have stricter laws.
Yeah. I think a lot of it is, like you were saying during the break, it's situational awareness. You got to be aware of where you're going. Sometimes it may not be necessary. But I remember what I was going to say. There's some kind of good news, I guess, in Maine. You know me, I don't like state involvement or state action whatsoever. But there is something that's kind of cool going on in the state legislature. My uncle is a state legislator, and he's not going to last long because he's a good guy. And I keep telling him that he may make it 2 years and then he'll just get tired of that nonsense. But he's a firearms instructor. I actually took my firearms safety class through him. And he's an avid hunter and gun owner. And he's a firearms dealer as well. And I think there's 17 or 18 co-sponsors. They've got a bill in the legislature right now to do away with concealed carry permits. Basically, you can conceal carry, just like Wyoming. And which is totally, to me, I think that's the way it should be everywhere. But and he's pretty confident that it'll pass. But I read an article in, I believe it was the Portland Press Herald, a commentary piece. And this guy, he had the typical liberal anti-gun argument. And he made such a straw man argument. And he went on to talk about how this is insanity to propose and pass a bill like this because we won't know who's carrying guns, you know, and the criminals will be everywhere. And I'm like, guy, you're kind of missing the point here. If you don't know if the guy next to you is packing, you're a lot less likely, especially if you're a criminal, you're a lot less likely to go out and hassle him and try to rob him or you know, even get in a fight with him or beat him up or whatever. He's like, it's bad enough that you can open carry in this state, but at least when you open carry, we know the crazy people that carry guns. And he went on to say that, you know, people that carry guns, how do I make this radio friendly? They have a... they feel certain inadequacies, and that's why they carry guns, which is, it's not true. It's very much not true. And I guess if you're an anti-gunner, you can't understand that. But, the whole argument, it was just ridiculous. And I mean, you could shoot holes in it all day long. Metaphorically.
Right. And I mean, it's such a strange argument to make. And you're talking about open carrying. I mean, who gets shot first by the criminal in a setting like that? You know, like the guy obviously open carrying. I mean, I'm not against open carrying in that, like, I don't think people shouldn't be allowed to do it. I just don't think it's a very wise decision if you carry for protection.
Right. Situational awareness. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, so I used to open carry, and mm-hmm. I don't do it anymore.
Well, like, I was even turned off. You probably remember, I guess it was a couple years ago now, they were open carry people protesting the rules of certain restaurant establishments. And it's like, way to make people look bad. You know, like, people can do whatever they want. They can make that choice, but it doesn't win any people to your side if you're going and showing off your guns and trying to provoke a fight, kind of. Like, it struck me as a very, they're going and trying to provoke things. They're trying to make an uncomfortable situation, and people are going to be uncomfortable by guns. I mean, a lot of people are. Most people don't carry, and in certain areas, it's going to turn some people off and make some people uncomfortable. And why make an uncomfortable scene to make a point? When the point can be better made through less flagrant displays of gun ownership.
Well, that and. To me, okay, if, like, let's say that local cafe posted a sign, we do not serve, people who carry guns concealed or open. That would turn me off. That would frustrate me. But I wouldn't go and cause a scene and protest. I'd just be like, guess what? You lost my business. I am not coming back here. Gun owners that go and protest things like that, they only half get it. They want their rights, but they don't want to acknowledge the rights of a private business owner to refuse them service, which I totally think they have.
Right. It's I want to know which restaurants don't approve of having guns, so
do the criminals.
And so do the criminals, too. And, that's another reason why you may not want to necessarily advertise that if you're a business owner. It could backfire. But I would want to know that in the same way I would want to know if an establishment doesn't want to serve gay people or doesn't want to serve black people or whatever. It's like, I want to know that so I don't waste my money and my time there. Because I don't support that belief or whatever. So
it's like I didn't really follow it that much, but I know a few weeks ago there was the uproar about that. Indiana, the law,
Indiana,
that
they, yeah,
the religious freedom, yeah. And I have a lot of gay friends and family, and a lot of them are really up in arms about that. And one of them's a private business owner. And I said, hey, don't you think that if you choose to, you should be able to refuse? Let's say there's an avid anti-gay bigot who, he's known in the community as being anti-gay. And he's very mean and whatever. As a private business owner in your hair salon, don't you think that you should be able to refuse him service? Well... yeah, but it's not the same thing. And I'm like, it really is. Freedom is freedom. Like, you can't qualify it. If I have the freedom to refuse you because of X, Y, and Z, you have the freedom to refuse me, for X, Y, Z. And you also have the freedom not to participate in that. And I don't to me, that whole thing, gun rights, well, I don't believe in gun rights or gay rights or any rights. I believe in natural rights. But all these rights issues serve no other purpose than to divide and conquer. They serve to get people arguing about these petty little issues and never seeing the big picture and addressing, you know, hacking at the root instead of hacking at the branches.
Right. I definitely agree. And Florida is kind of trying to do something similar, but with adoption agencies. What they're trying to do is pass a law, and it's kind of like one of those laws that they're passing before another bad, you know, more worse, you know, law gets passed, which I don't know. I don't believe in protective laws, okay? Like, laws to prevent worse laws. That doesn't make sense to me. But it's basically saying it's going to codify that adoption agencies have the right to refuse adopting kids out to gay couples. And so a lot of people were upset about this, a lot of civil rights groups and gay groups and stuff like that. And I can understand why, because Florida's a state that, I mean, 5 years ago, it was illegal for gay people to adopt. And now you still have, as an adoption agency, you still have the right to refuse someone, refuse to adopt, a child out to someone. So I guess I don't really see the need for a kind of protective law until something does happen, because a lot of people are worried that religious adoption clinics, for example, would have to violate their morals to adopt to a gay person, and the gay couple may sue them or something like that. So they're saying, in case that they get sued, we're going to pass this law so they can't be sued, kind of thing. And it's a very weird, it's a weird kind of, you know, protectionist law for something that hasn't even happened yet, at least not in Florida. And
well, isn't that what so many laws are, though, to address problems that really aren't even there?
Mm-hmm. Right. And I really think, I mean, it's just a way to divide people. And I, you know, I'm sure it's about other things, too. What kind of struck me is, you know, this is more of maybe a discussion of, like, child rights. Like, they don't get to choose the adoption place that they wind up in. And, you know, why aren't, you know, what are the child's rights in these places? And, I mean, they don't really have that many. They're, I mean, they just kind of belong to the place that they got, you know, dropped off at or adopted out to in some other ways. So, I don't know. It to me, it's kind of a backwards thing, because like, why not just adopt a child to a loving family? You know, have standards, have criteria, I guess, but I don't know what orientation has to do with standards, but
I don't either.
It's weird, though. There's so many, like, religious protection laws when it's a country that is, you know, over 70% Christian, and there's really not a lot of religious persecution, comparatively speaking, to the rest of the world, you know, for Christians in this country.
Oh, yeah.
So they make still a political majority. I want to know if these places hold those beliefs so I can boycott them. And, I mean, the market is people, right? So the market's going to respond in both ways. There's going to be people boycotting, and then there's going to be people supporting. Like that pizza place in Indiana that said they didn't want to cater gay weddings. They got shut down. They shut down because they got a lot of threats and a lot of people were boycotting them. But then someone else started a crowdfunding campaign and raised a ton of money, hundreds of thousands of dollars for them, which is more than they would have made probably just running the restaurant, you know, as they had been doing. The market responded in both ways, and, you know, they're still going to be in business now. And they just reopened and had a packed house. So
the market will prevail. Yeah, and I think the market is a good way to instruct people. Mm. You know, market forces can teach us a lot about freedom.
Yeah. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
I gotta say, your meows are not as scary as Randy's. I was on the show with him last week. And
oh, he does have scary meows.
He has the Wampus Cat meow, and it just scared me.
It so much catches more intimidating. Me off guard. Yeah, my meows aren't scary. I'm not trying to scare people. I'm not the police.
Yeah. So, geez, I forgot. I must be getting old. I keep forgetting things.
We were talking about not getting bogged down with some of this negative news stuff.
Yeah.
And just knowing when to unplug for a while and just be unreachable.
Yeah. Well, it is. I mean, my friends that know me know that I used to be always up on the current news, especially with politics and world events and that sort of thing. And I still keep up, but not even half as much as I used to. I don't care. To me, I would much rather watch a tutorial video and learn how to use Final Cut Pro so I can make my own cool videos than spend time reading the news feeds all the time, you know? But yeah. I have found a really interesting app for Android that I like. And it's called Smart News. And basically, it's like what do they call them? It's a news feed, but you can customize it. And you can't put just any old website in there, but there's a lot of choices. And there's some really cool websites that I have never heard of, especially tech ones, that I found in this little app. And it's great because you just hit it, and it's got tabs on top for the sites, and it'll give the top headlines for each site. And you can just scroll through, and it'll either open up the web page, or you can do like a smart view if you don't have a good data connection. And it'll just show the text of the article. And it's really great for, you know, when you're on the go or whatever, and you just want to read something. And, you know, it's got the easy integrate buttons to share. It's a very handy app I found.
Ooh, I'm going to have to check that out. It's kind of like a news aggregator.
That's app. The word I was looking for. Yes. And it is fairly customizable. The only thing I think it's missing is, like, you can't add your own sites. Like, you know, I can't add the Freedom Fiends or, you know, Off-Grid Living or Backwoods Home or something. It's just the sites that they have in there. Whatever, their data banks. But there's a lot of good sites. I mean, like I said, I like the tech sites a lot. And there's a gaming section. There's they have like Vice News and all kinds of cool sites.
Like Vice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, with all the information that's out there, it's great that you can get so many perspectives on an event that happens. And you can also learn so much, too. You know, if the news does get overwhelming, I mean, how many tutorials are on YouTube? You can teach yourself a new skill if you want to. Yep. I mean, I've learned all kinds of, like, random stuff just from watching tutorials and just self-education. And it's free and super easy to use. And, I mean, that's great.
That's how I'm learning Final Cut Pro right now. Like, I've used Premiere, and I like Premiere a lot, but I figured I just wanted to try something new. You know, there's a lot of different features in Final Cut, and I just put it into YouTube, you know, learn Final Cut Pro, and there's tons and tons of videos, you know, because I can't afford to buy the lynda.com subscriptions. They have great tutorials. I have a few for different things, but they're very expensive. So, yeah. I just go on YouTube and, you know, either watch them or save the videos to my computer and, you know, got some spare time to start learning and practicing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I learned how to hula hoop dance from YouTube.
Nice.
Actually, a few years ago, I got into hooping, and there's even more tutorials now. I mean, it's just gotten crazy awesome as far as tutorials. And but yeah, I mean, just anything you can think of. And now, my problem is just time management, though. Like, yeah. Sometimes I want to learn, like, so many things. But so it's good to kind of take a break sometimes. And
it is. Yeah. You know, teach yourself something new. You never stop learning. You know, the day you stop learning is the day you die. So learn as much as you can. Take advantage of all the resources. I mean, I know a lot of people will decry technology and how it's so horrible and making us dependent, but there's a lot of good aspects of it too.
Oh, absolutely. It's all about balance. So,
well, it was really good doing the show with you, and take care, everyone. And we'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, until next time.
Worms.